Merkle Media.
What does the goddamn line say, Tony?
Please do not use gendered language.
Then what? I'll be arrested, put in airport jail.
Look, you're going completely sideways, man.
It's a big club, and you ain't in it.
How dare you?
Mr. Speaker, the President of the United States.
I'm Chris Hansen with Dave on NBC.
Jack Mary's Tack Theratrix.
Hi, I'm Spartacus.
Steve Jackson, Sacramento, he, him.
Steven Seagal.
Sex offender guy.
I'm Keith Morris.
This is Muammar Gaddafi.
I'm Rick James, bitch.
Sorting through the lies.
The hijacker's passport was found blocks from the World Trade Center crash site, if you can believe that.
We cannot track $2.3 trillion in transactions.
And uncovering the centuries-long plan for world domination.
Learning about Cuba, having some food.
Let's talk about Chinese people.
Have you ever been in a Turkish prison?
I have sent six of my Libyan missiles to blow up the Sears hardware department.
Nothing could be more fun than jumping off a cliff with two German bisexuals.
Oh, you English are so superior, aren't you?
Thank you, comrade.
And now, macroaggressions.
That's what assholes call it.
With your host.
Buddy, I don't know who you are, but you're about to get chlamydia.
Charlie Robinson.
Hey, Whitey, where's your hat?
You want to drop the blame on Charlie and say it's all Charlie's fault.
He was a retard.
I get some goddamn diuretic.
Welcome to Macroaggressions. I'm your host, Charlie Robinson. If you are watching us on fan.video, Rockfin, Odyssey, vigilante.tv, or you're listening wherever podcasts are served, thanks a million. We appreciate the support. You can share this show, this episode, with your friends and family, and we would appreciate that. You can follow me on Twitter, at Macroaggression, or you can go to the website, theoctopusofglobalcontrol.com. Hey, if you're going to look for, I don't know, if you want to get out of town for a while and head someplace beautiful and warm, what are you doing the first week of February 2023 in Mexico? Maybe in Acapulco? In Acapulco, Mexico? You can come hang out. I'll be there with Max Egan, Larkin Rose, Dan Dix, Del Bigtree, Mark Passio, Andrew Kaufman, Carrie Madej, Miriam Hanane, and of course, the legendary Ron Paul. So if you're interested, narcapulco.com, promo code macro, save yourself some money on the tickets and everything associated with that. We'd love to see you. It's a great time. I guarantee you, you'll have a blast. Thank you to Legal Shield, our newest sponsor. They have been in business for 50 years. They have an A-plus rating with the Better Business Bureau, and their programs are available in the United States and Canada. This is one of the smartest decisions I have made, to sign up for their program. I think you should at least check it out. It is the collective buying power of all of us directed towards high-power law firms in your area. It really gets you in the door at in access to lawyers that you probably wouldn't be able to afford individually on your own, or maybe you could afford it, but wouldn't want to spend it. It's $1 a day. It's $30 a month. It's very reasonable. They have a variety of packages. One is the legal protection, and but you can add on things like if you have a small business, if you have you're interested in ID Shield, which is credit monitoring, reputation management, password manager, all those things. If you carry a gun, if you have a license for a gun, they have documentation and paperwork for that. Look, check it out. Check it out. I mean, it just go over to the website and see if you think it's right for you. They created a landing page for us, www.don'tgetpushedaround.com. If you have a couple minutes, check it out, see what you think. And I've asked the question on previous shows, like, what's your paperwork situation looking like? Because you're going to need it. If you don't have a will and testament, you got to have one. If you don't have a medical power of attorney or a financial power of attorney, you need it. You know, and nobody wants to spend money on it. So, you know, rather than spend a couple $1,000s to acquire these documents and put them in your safe, like you have to have if you're a functioning adult, most people just put it off. But you don't have to do that anymore. Just sign up for Legal Shield for $30 a month. And within the first couple of days, just schedule yourself an appointment with the law firm in your area. The average attorney there has 22 years of experience. So you're not going to get somebody just fresh out of law school. You'll get an experienced attorney. get all that stuff done, knock it out, put that stuff in your safe and be done with it, right? Just, that's what I say. But look, you'll never get a hard sell from me. So my request is just go to the website, take a look, see what you think. If it's right for you, pull the trigger. If not, that's cool as well. www.don'tgetpushedaround.com. Also, thanks to Chemical Free Body, 2023 is here. Is this the year that you finally take your health into your own hands? Nobody's going to do it for you. I got bad news for you. Nobody's coming to save you with regard to your health. You're going to have to do it yourself. And that starts with making the decision that that's what you're going to do. Now, obviously, get in the gym, start working out, start walking, start doing the things that you know that you need to do. But a component of that, supplements. Supplement market is multi-billion dollars and filled with a bunch of scammers. One thing I can tell you with absolute certainty is that Tim James, the owner of Chemical Free Body, is a fantastic human being and his products work. That's what I can tell you because I know Tim and I've been taking his products now for several years. I have great results. I take it every single morning. Green 85, check it out. If you're interested, promo code MACRO. Use that. It'll save you some money on your way out the door. But everyone wants to put it off and then the new year comes and they say, well, I'm going to make some decisions. I'm going to change some things about my life. Good. I hope you do. I hope you feel better. Nothing worse than feeling shitty, right? So part of that is just acknowledging that you need to fix your diet and get the supplements and get the minerals and vitamins that you need. Chemical Free Body is a good place to do it. Check it out. Promo code MACRO over there to save yourself a little bit of money. Well, we're going to talk about a group of people that get a little bit of notoriety, not a ton. They certainly don't get the sort of recognition for their craft that they deserve, and by craft I mean trying to enslave the world. And that's the Aspen Institute. Now, you might have heard this you might have heard it recently in the Twitter files when it kind of leaked out that Yoel Roth, the head of Twitter safety and security, whatever he actually did, that was his title. He mentioned in one of the leaked emails that Matt Taibbi and the crew put forth that he was unable to join this meeting with the FBI. You know, I can't go to the FBI meeting because I have to be at the Aspen Institute and present on vaccines. To which my response is, why the fuck is the guy from Twitter safety presenting on vaccines? Unless his presentation is, let me show you how we use propaganda at Twitter to convince dumb people to line up and inject themselves with experimental gene therapy. I shouldn't say dumb people. I should say manipulated people. That, you know, you don't have to be dumb to have taken the vaccine. You just have to not be paying attention. You can be dumb. And a lot of dumb people did inject themselves, but a lot of well-meaning, very intelligent people did as well. And well, that's the power of propaganda, I suppose. It's really, really disgusting. And part of the group, you know, one of the groups that was instrumental in really pushing a lot of these bullshit agendas is the Aspen Institute. And we're going to get into this because I don't think that this group gets the sort of love, and I use that word loosely, that it deserves for what they are contributing to the world. The Aspen Institute is a global nonprofit organization committed to realizing a free, just, and equitable society. Ding, 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 ding. You start hearing words like equitable. You go, oh, equity? Oh, everybody's going to get equity in this society? Well, you know, I mean, you're all going to be equally screwed. I mean, so in that regard, it will be equitable. Because nobody else will have anything more than you. None of your neighbors or other people. I mean, they, the ruling class, will have, it won't be equitable for them. They'll have everything. You will have just as many crickets as your neighbor to eat. So that's what they mean. And so what are they doing over at, well, at the Aspen Institute? Well, they were founded in 1949. And they do conferences and events, and they put on programs that drive change on global and domestic challenges, whatever that means. Leadership programs that build networks of value-based leaders. That's fine. What are your values? That's my question. I don't have a problem with you having a leadership program that builds networks of value-based leaders, as long as you're very upfront about what your values are. if your values are enslaving the world under the fake climate change flag and instituting a decarbonization of the planet, then those aren't the sort of leaders we're looking for. But they're going to still have these programs. They have a youth leadership program. They have media resources that promote their solutions. Obviously, they're heavily involved with using the media to get their message out. They have international partners that address global challenges and develop civil society. These are the forward-facing things that they do. These are the things that they tell you that they're doing. And it's international in scope. It's Aspen Institute. Aspen, Colorado is where it started. It is actually headquartered in Washington, D.C., the heart of the beast. And I have an Alex Jonesian style level of notes for this one that I will be getting into. Aspen, Washington, D.C., Germany, France, Romania. They're located in all these countries, Japan, Spain, Mexico, Central Europe. And of course, the most important country to put the Aspen Institute, Ukraine. Because of course, you're going to put your a branch of your world government group in the poorest country in Europe, the most corrupted country in Europe, and the washing machine for the world's funny money. But they care about the climate in Ukraine, as they systematically are bombing the shit out of everything. Yeah, great. So, what is this group doing? Well, they are sitting on $310 million that they have, as this is as of 2019. A lot of bake sales to raise that much money. Oh, of course, I'm just kidding about that. They don't have bake sales to get the money. They get it from their friends at the Carnegie Foundation and the Rockefeller Brothers Fund and the Ford Foundation. And wait for it, of course, the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation. Yes, of course. Wherever you find globalist scumbags, you will find Bill and Melinda Gates handing out cookies and candy like it's Halloween. Bloomberg Philanthropies is involved too, because if you know one thing about the world, it's that Mike Bloomberg, that little elf, is really big on philanthropies, you know, as he's enslaving the world with the things that he does. The board of trustees comes from sort of a hodgepodge of government, business, and academia. And you know, they're also, you know, besides taking money from some of the worst charities out there, big time air quotes when I use the terms charities, when talking about Carnegie Corporation, Rockefeller Brothers Fund, Ford Foundation, Gates Foundation. But in addition to those sources of revenue and excluding the bake sales, they also are heavily funded by Saudi Arabia and the United Arab Emirates as well. And, you know, when I think of going back to their mission statement, the Aspen Institute is a global nonprofit organization committed to realizing a free, just, and equitable society. Now, when I think free, just, and equitable societies, I often think of Saudi Arabia and the United Arab Emirates. I mean, when they're not persecuting people for their religious beliefs or cutting their heads off for being homosexual, they are right on the cutting edge of free, just, and equitable society. I mean, I just... ugh. But are you surprised, really? I mean, are you? Of course not. Of course not. So who is in charge of this band of merry maniacs? Well, I'll tell you who used to be in charge. It was Walter Isaacson. Are you familiar with that name? I'll tell you, his name first rang a bell to me when he was the author of the Steve Jobs biography. And he conducted like 40 interviews over like a 2-year period with Steve Jobs and then wound up writing this book. And it came out like right after Steve Jobs died, which according to the WikiLeaks files, who've never had to retract a statement, and I've seen the document, Steve Jobs died, in fact, of AIDS and not of liver failure or whatever it was that got him. Prostate cancer, I think. I saw the WikiLeaks release. Have you looked through that file before? Have you looked at all the stuff in there? Yeah, you get the letter from Steve Jobs' doctors informing him that he has HIV. Yeah, that's crazy. So anyway, that's how I found out about Walter Isaacson. I just assumed he was like a writer, ghostwriter. I don't know. I mean, he's writing Steve Jobs' biography. He has to be connected in somehow, but fuck, I don't know. Maybe he just worked at Wired Magazine. That's what I'm thinking. No. You dig into this guy, and what you find is he is deep state to his core. And this is the guy that was running the Aspen Institute. So what was he doing prior to? So when did he run the Aspen Institute? Well, that was from 2003 to 2018. What was he doing prior to 2003? Oh, well, funny. Thank you for asking. What he was doing was he was the CEO of CNN, but he wasn't the CEO of CNN for like 10 or 15 years, like they normally are. He was the CEO of CNN for only 2 years. Would you like to take a wild guess when he started? He started 2 months before 9/11. Do you know why? Because they needed somebody in there to control the flow of information. And he left 2 years after that and in 2003 to go to work for the Aspen Institute. So he also wrote a book about Kissinger. So you know he's a good guy. Just kidding. And sort of a little known fact, or I guess I should say it was an unknown fact to me. I haven't heard this talked about too much, but in a, I guess, surprising sort of turn of events, he was in charge of overseeing the recovery spending after Hurricane Katrina hit New Orleans. And you know how well that went, as money just disappeared left, right, and center. I'm not saying that Walter Isaacson was stealing money. I'm just saying that if Walter Isaacson was in charge of the recovery spending after Katrina, he would at least know who was stealing the money, because it didn't go to New Orleans. I was just there a couple months ago, and it's still a shithole. Okay, those things didn't get rebuilt. He was appointed by Obama to be the chairman of the Broadcasting Board of Governors, which runs Voice of America and Radio Free Europe, both well-established propaganda outfits of the United States, which is actually kind of fitting for Obama to appoint him, since Obama legalized propaganda to be used inside the United States. But he appointed him prior. This is actually prior to the Smith-Mundt Modernization Act of 2012. Doesn't matter. Not like they weren't propagandizing us before that. You know, they just had to make it legal. And if you were unsure about Walter Isaacson's background, you thought, well, maybe he's not totally deep state, then let me just go through the list of boards of directors that he sits on, and then you tell me what you think. The U.S. Department of Defense Initiative Advisory Board. Okay. Halliburton's board, Halliburton, former CEO Dick Cheney, stepped down as CEO of Halliburton, which is a multinational engineering firm. It's like the type of company that John Perkins used to work for. He worked for a company called Maine that was in charge of building these massive hydroelectric power plants or airports or freeways or whatever. They take on the big, big jobs. Well, Halliburton is like that. And Walter Isaacson sits on the board of Halliburton. He is on the board of Bloomberg Philanthropies. Okay. You know, if you know who Mike Bloomberg is, then you know what a devious organization that is. There's no philanthropy going on there, I assure you. Yeah. He's on the board of the Rockefeller Foundation. Okay. Like that in and of itself is automatic disqualification. He's on the board of the Carnegie Institute for Science, and he's also on the board of directors for United Airlines, which is really fascinating considering how concerned with climate change the Aspen Institute is. You know, they're just really concerned with, you know, obviously equity. You got to have equity in your climate change. It's just not the same without it. But they're super concerned about damaging the environment and the harm that we're doing to the environment. As the head of the Aspen Institute sits on the board of United Airlines with their airplanes that are, you know, contributing to carbon output, and the U.S. Defense Department in Halliburton. And Rockefeller Foundation too. Yeah, I mean, it's just. I mean, I'm a little surprised he wasn't on the board of DARPA. I mean, why not? I guess you got to have aspirations, right? Maybe for 2023, our hopes and prayers can be that Walter Isaacson finally winds up on the board of directors for DARPA or InQtel or who fucking cares. Anyway, so that's the guy that's been in charge of this from 2003 to 2018. Okay. So if you're wondering where they get their ideas for climate and all that stuff, just understand that the president and CEO of the Aspen Institute for a 15-year period was a guy that was in charge of managing information flow as the CEO of CNN in the lead up to and then the eventual happening of 9/11, Afghanistan, and the build up to the war in Iraq. The perfect guy. The guy that would shut down any sort of dissenting voices or opinions. A gigantic, full-fledged, five-star hypocrite. So, let's get into what they're doing. They have a program called This is Planet Ed. Or maybe it's ED. This is Planet Erectile Dysfunction. Either way, works for me. It's propaganda targeted at kids and an initiative of the Energy and Environment Program that is a theme running through the Aspen Institute. This is their tagline. Just listen to how many buzzwords are in this. We believe children and youth will lead the fight against climate change, and we must empower them to advance a more sustainable, resilient, and equitable future. There you go. Whenever you hear equitable or equity or stakeholder, these are buzzwords. These are ESG, World Economic Forum, global communism buzzwords. It doesn't mean what you think it's going to mean. It doesn't mean you're going to get stock equity in this company. It means that you're going to all equally be fucked. That's what it means. It means that there's nobody's going to rise up because you're all going to be equal. And in, you know, the assumption for a lot of people is, oh, we're going to be equally well off. It's like, you're going to be equal something. Well off? That's you making that assumption. We never said you were going to be well off. We said you'll eat the bugs and you'll own nothing. Remember that? Well, that still stands. Well, but don't worry, everybody, because let me settle your mind. The person in charge of This is Planet ED, Ed, is New Jersey Governor Christine Todd Whitman, Bush's head of the EPA, the Environmental Protection Agency. Now, if you're the head of the Environmental Protection Agency, you know all this stuff is a scam by default. I mean, you have to. You wouldn't be in that position if you weren't on the team. If you're the head of Bush's, George W. Bush's EPA, well, then you had a different mission. And you might recognize Governor Christine Todd Whitman's name as the lady who told the world that Ground Zero was absolutely, positively safe for workers to start the cleanup. And then what happened? They all, not all, a lot of them came down with cancers, lung diseases, radiation poisoning, all kinds of things because, you know, they set off a nuke at Ground Zero, you know, and that gives you a variety of diseases. But when there was controversy around that, when there were people that were saying, I don't think it's safe for these not first responders, but the cleanup crews that were running 24/7 down in lower Manhattan in the days and weeks and months, really, after 9/11, they were all given the green light. The EPA head said, everything is fine. You're going to be fine. Everything is fine. That was her. Everything was not fine. But she's been elevated now. Now she's in charge of propaganda targeting kids. What could possibly go wrong, right? So they go on to say, This is Planet Ed seeks to unlock the power of education as a force for climate action, climate solutions, and environmental justice. Oh, here we go again. I seem to remember doing an episode just a couple of months ago called the Environmental Justice League, where I talked about how if you see this term, you just bells and whistles and flashing red lights should be going off in your mind that says this is scam. These are terms that you use when you're talking about scams. Environmental justice. We're gonna get back at that goddamn sun. Those clouds haven't seen the last of us. I tell you, we're gonna get them. So what do they want? What is this lunatic Christine Todd Whitman? What does she want? The former governor of New Jersey? Well, she wants societal decarbonization by 2050. Let's just stop right here for a second. I'm no scientist, okay? I just play one on the podcast. But I do know this. I do know that trees and plants need carbon. They take carbon in, carbon dioxide in, and they expel oxygen. It's a magical process. And we need them to continue to do that. They filter a lot of the pollutants and they are the lungs of our planet, right? The rainforests and the trees and the like. So when you start talking about getting rid of all the carbon in the atmosphere, then what you're really talking about is getting rid of all the plant life on the planet. And when you're talking about doing that and that's your plan, that's mass murder. That's genocide. That's insanity. Okay. So when you hear decarbonization, people talking about that like it's a good thing, you need to stop them and educate them on what this is. These people have been watching too much Fox News and CNN and MSNBC and BBC and all the wrong news channels if they think that decarbonization is the future and it's the way to save us all. I assure you, as they've said, or as we in the alternative media have said, the carbon that they wish to reduce is you. Okay. So they also have a thing called K-12 Climate Action. This is for local, state, and federal schools to support the education sector to mitigate, adapt, educate, and advance equity to address climate change. Again, fake buzzwords. Climate change is fake. Pollution is real. Climate change is fake. It's as fake as the science behind COVID. You can buy scientists as easily as you can buy politicians. They are bought and sold on the dark web every single day and in Washington, D.C. all the time. You want to have a environmental scientist make the chart show exactly what you need it to show in order to justify going to the government and asking for, you know, $100 billion to save the planet? You can make the models say whatever you want. Just look at Niall Ferguson, what he did. He makes models that say that mad cow disease is going to kill 50 million people. Okay. So you can make the numbers dance however you want them to dance. But these people are specifically doing that in order to create this carbon climate change decarbonization grift. And it's a big grift and it's a big project and it's going to go on forever. You're going to hear about this till the day you die. They're going to be scaring you with climate change and too much carbon in the atmosphere and carbon credits and cow farts and all this stuff. It's the perfect invisible scam. We've talked about this at length. If you are interested in more information about this, just go look back through some of my previous episodes. You can find, I did a really fun show with Sam Tripoli on Tinfoil Hat talking about the Paris Climate Accord and what a scam that whole thing is. But look, it doesn't mean they're not going to use it. It doesn't mean that even though the science doesn't add up and the scientists are fake and compromised and bought off and everything, it doesn't mean that they're going to stop. Okay, so just expect more of this. And the problem that I have a variety of problems, but one of the bigger problems I have is the indoctrination of kids. They're creating climate anxiety, where a lot of people are saying, well, I don't want to have kids because then I'm going to just be adding to the burden on this planet. Or maybe I should medically assist in dying up in Canada. Maybe I should just kill myself to be better for the planet. I mean, they're not going to stop you. I got news for you. If you've come to that conclusion, they will welcome that. They want fewer people on the planet. They write about it, they talk about it, they make plans for this. That's what they want. So they're going to push this agenda. It's up to you to understand it. And of course, now it's up to you. If you have kids, you have to offset this indoctrination programming that they're going to be getting. They're going to be getting it in early years climate action, targeting 0 to 8-year-old kids. That's what they say. Then there's a higher education climate action. But this is an interesting one, an interesting component of what Aspen's doing. Higher education climate action, but it's focused only on three places: Black universities, tribal colleges, and minority serving institutions. That's weird. It's almost like the carbon that they really want to get rid of are all the minorities. Not according to Twitter, though. If you're a white male on Twitter, you are the worst person in the world. Then they also have a subset, another program called Climate, and this one makes me irate, Climate Media for Kids. But instead of F-O-R kids, they put the number 4 because
they're cool and they're targeting kids. And so what is climate media for kids? This is, they quite literally talk about this. They talk about inserting propaganda into the kids' content, media, books, whatever. You know, that recent wave of grooming that's been happening where My Two Mommies books are popping up in all these schools. There is an agenda. Okay. In that particular case, we're talking about like the sexualization of kids or the fact that trying to teach people that there's 100 pronouns or that sometimes boys have periods and all that horseshit. That's real. Of course, we know that. But understand this. That same insertion into children's literature is happening at the climate agenda window as well. And Aspen Institute is driving that. Okay. They said it in their, you know, they've got a climate media for kids talking about that. So expect it to be inserted into storylines and cartoons, in comic books, in woke Netflix type agendas that are targeting kids and all that stuff. You know, when they're not sexualizing them, they're giving them anxiety that the world is going to end, which is awesome and definitely won't impact their behavior at all. Sarcasm, fun. Let's talk about this. They've got a division. They've got a division called environmental justice. Like I said, when you hear that term, you just know that you know, we're going to get back at, I mean, I guess we're going to punish the sun is racist, I guess. I don't know. The rain is definitely racist. Maybe the wind too. I've got to read this. It's a couple sentences. This is from their website. I'm going to read it in full. And then I'm going to go back and mock it, okay, like line by line, because it's so cringy and filled with buzzwords and nonsense. And you play along at home and see if you can figure out what they're trying to say, because it's environmental justice, so you know it's a total scam and they're not really saying anything. But just listen how eloquently they say nothing. So this is from the site. The Energy and Environment Program is expanding our commitment to environmental justice and equity for all communities. We are working to increase our efforts to combat the structural racism so deeply embedded in the U.S. history, culture, and practice of managing shared land, ocean, water, food, and other life-sustaining resources. Our goal is to bring environmental justice to the core of our existing programs and to develop new programs focused specifically on addressing environmental justice and the intersectionality of climate change. I could barely even get through it with a straight face. I know what you're thinking. Did Kamala Harris write this thing? The answer is yeah, probably. Okay, so let's start the VR. Energy and Environment Program is expanding our commitment to environmental justice, which is fake, and equity for all communities. Equally screwed. I'm just translating it from wokeism horseshit into common English. We are working to increase our efforts to combat the structural racism so deeply embedded in the U.S. history, culture, and practice. Everybody's racist, of managing shared land, ocean, water, food, and other life-sustaining resources. Okay, where structural racism is involved in managing, first of all, we're managing shared land? Are we? Or, I thought there was private ownership. Whose shared land are we talking about? Der Commissars? I mean, I'm sorry, but get off my property. You know what I mean? This is so they're managing shared lands and in their minds or something. Our goal is to bring environmental justice, fake, to the core of our existing programs, which are scams, and to develop new programs, more scams, focused specifically on addressing environmental justice, the big scam, and the intersectionality of climate change. I don't even know what the fuck that means. I'll be completely honest with you. The intersectionality of climate change, that sounds made up to me. And I'm fighting the urge to not read that with a lisp, you know, because the whole thing is like, oh my God, like the environment program, we're expanding our commitment. The whole thing is just nonsense. It's gibberish. They go on to say during this, I scoured their website and all these documents. They're trying to find some of the things that they've said. And so they talked about some things. This is environmental justice. Okay. And so they mention that they quote, "We're standing in solidarity with Black Lives Matter." It's like, oh shit. You know, that's a gigantic con job, right? You understand that those Patrice Cullors and those, they are admitted Marxists. They are going to jail at some point in the near future. If it hasn't happened already, well, it hasn't happened with the heads. They were stealing money and buying a bunch of houses with it. And then people called them out on it. So then they said, well, you guys are racist against us because we're just trying to help the Black community. It's like, no, we're calling you out because you're stealing all the money and buying mansions all over the place. And then getting development deals with Netflix, because nobody goes to prison for this. You know, nobody goes to prison for this sort of grift, because you're in the environmental justice grift, which is everybody who's Black is innocent of everything, and you can't accuse them of anything or else you're a white devil. And the environment is definitely racist. And on top of that, so they go on to say, here's this word again, teaching intersectionality and environmental justice in our classroom. That was written by the NAACP, which stands for the National Association for the Advancement of Colored People. Okay, a humongous grift in and of itself, which has been leading the Black community in a gigantic circle for the last half a century, doing nothing except putting money in their pockets and stealing. Al Sharpton is a prime example of that grift. So they go on to say the National Black Environmental Justice Network aims to compact environmental racism by creating space for leaders and building alliances to connect their work, share resources, and strategically target systemic racism. I mean, please explain to me what that means. The National Black Environmental Justice Network. So is the environment racist? That's what I want to know. Because if we're looking for environmental justice, and we have the National Black Environmental Justice Network, then clearly the environment is keeping the Black man down. I mean, according to this, the NAACP is involved, but you know what it really is? This is what it is. It is a blending of two real prominent and successful grifts right now. You have the anti-racism grift with the climate change grift. Okay, it's perfect. You know, I'm a little surprised that they haven't accused the environment of being racist towards non-binaries, you know, because weather, you know, because of clouds. It's so disconnected from reality and filled with buzzwords. If you go and look, you know, if you really go and dig into what the environmental justice component of the Aspen Institute is, what you'll find is just buzzwords. You'll find those, and you'll find no real concrete evidence of what they're doing. So, but let's move on. I'm going to talk really, really fast about who is behind this group, or, you know, because that matters. And you want to know who's running it, just because at, you know, look, at their core, the people that are sitting on the board, the people that are running this operation as the CEO, I already mentioned Walter Isaacson and what he was up to. But let's take a look at the board. So the chairman of the board of the Aspen Institute is Margot Pritzker. Okay. Are you familiar with the last name Pritzker? You should be. They've got one of them running Illinois. And you've got the other one. There's a bunch of them. There's a bunch of Pritzkers, and they're all worth like $2.5 billion each. And there's like a dozen of them, right? That the family is super wealthy, and they own things like the Hyatt hotel chain, and they used to own Transamerica Credit, and they own some banks, and they own some newspapers. And you know what they also own? Royal Caribbean Cruises. Do you know how, well, we'll get to this in a second, but hold that thought and just keep that in the back of your mind. Royal Caribbean Cruises. It's just ironic. The brother of one of the Pritzkers. One of the Pritzker brothers who is now, I guess, one of the Pritzker sisters, is the leading financier of the trans movement. Okay. He was in the military for a long, long time, which is kind of weird when you've got billions of dollars. But anyway, he was sort of a high-ranking guy in the military and then transitioned and became a woman, like a couple, I don't know, 10 years ago or so. And now has been the largest financial backer of the transgendered movement in America. So it's her siblings. I guess that's the best way. That's the most gender neutral way to put it, because it used to be her brother and now it's her sister, but whatever. But Margot Pritzker is only part of the Pritzker family, which is deeply involved in, all sorts of agendas that are not very good. Also on this this board of trustees, we have Katie Couric, who's a journalist. Everybody loves Katie Couric, right? She hosted the Today Show, and after she'd get done at the Today Show, some nights she'd go over to Jeffrey Epstein's house for dinner. Like, that happened quite a bit. They were friends. Of course, I'm sure that had nothing to do with the media keeping their mouth shut about what he was doing. Also, we have Cesar Conde, who is the chairman of NBC Universal, that NBC Universal News Group that runs NBC News, MSNBC, which stands for Microsoft NBC, and CNBC, which is the financial channel that they have. But very convenient to have on the board of directors of the Aspen Institute when you're pushing this fake climate equity horseshit, to have somebody that's going to be in charge of the media. Obviously, you had Walter Isaacson, who had been deeply involved in CNN and the cover-up squad there with 9/11, Afghanistan, and Iraq. And now you've also got someone on the board that's a high-ranking member, who's actually the chairman of NBC Universal. Good guy to have, right? Then you've got John Doerr, Kleiner Perkins, Caulfield Byers. Remember the episode I did about a year ago called The Creature from Sand Hill Road, talking about the venture capital companies that are operating in Menlo Park and Palo Alto. Well, he runs one of the biggest ones, Kleiner Perkins Caulfield Byers. They are involved in, Al Gore is one of their advisors. John Doerr put in money to finance the beginnings of Google and Amazon, among other things. Twitter, you look through his client list, it's pretty good. I mean, there's really few people that have nailed it more than Kleiner Perkins Caulfield Byers as an organization, and John Doerr in particular is one of those guys. He gave a $1.1 billion grant to Stanford University to be used for sustainability. Now, listen, I want to be clear. I have no problem with the concept of sustainability if we're going to actually have that conversation. You want to build things instead of functional obsolescence. You build brake pads that don't fall apart, after a year. They last you 4 years. Or you build a watch that doesn't break down after 5 years. Instead, it lasts 10 years. Things like that. If you want to be sustainable, there's ways to do it. But this guy gave a little over $1 billion to Stanford so that they could get involved in sustainability. But when I hear sustainability from a guy who's sitting on the board of the Aspen Institute, what I think is fake climate change. So instead, I don't think he's doing it the right way. Arne Duncan is on the board of the Aspen Institute. Does that name ring a bell? It should. He's the former U.S. Secretary of Education. He is the genius who implemented Common Core. So when your kids come home from school and don't know how to add, you can thank Arne Duncan from that. But that should be no surprise to anybody, because Obama installed him as the chairman there. Common Core, of course, was financed by Bill and Melinda Gates. And Arne Duncan, before becoming the Secretary of Education, he was the CEO of the Chicago Public Schools. And we all know how great they are, right? What a wonderful guy. Was the CEO of the school districts in New Mexico unavailable? Because they're 50th. After that, we can maybe go to Nevada. They're 49th on the list. just incompetence being rewarded all over the place. The board also includes Michael Eisner, the former CEO of Disney. There's definitely nothing sketchy happening at Disney these days, wink, wink. And a guy named James Manyika, senior vice president at Google Technology and Society. He is a member of Schmidt Futures, which is Eric Schmidt's venture capital firm. He is a member of the Trilateral Commission. He is a member of the Council on Foreign Relations. He is a fellow at DeepMind Artificial Intelligence, which is also owned by Google. So we've got the AI guy who sits on the board of the Trilateral Commission, who wants open borders, and runs Google's technology and society component, who's involved in international politics with the CFR. He's on the board as well. And not to be outdone, though, there's Kerry Walton Penner. You might recognize her as the new Broncos owner. Her family, her husband is her and her husband are the leading group behind buying that with a minority investment by Condoleezza Rice. We'll get to her later. Her name shows up in this as well. So this is a Walton family foundation. She's a Walton, obviously. Thus the name Walton. So if anyone knows about equity, it's Walton, right? Because they were out there spreading their money. Oh, wait, never mind. And Jacqueline Novogratz. Now, for you crypto people out there, you're going, Novogratz, that name sounds familiar. Well, yeah, well, I'll get to that in a second here. But she's the vice chair and CEO of a company called Acumen. It's a global venture capital fund used to address global poverty. Funny that the super rich billionaire crowds are so concerned with global poverty. They're definitely not using that as a cover for depopulation or anything like that, I assure you. Her brother is Mike Novogratz, okay, who is a crypto venture capitalist. He's the head of Galaxy Digital Holdings. You might recognize him as the dipshit who tattooed a Luna, a wolf tattoo on his shoulder, only to have Luna and Terra go and evaporate and turn into dust and lose a bunch of his money. He's a member of the Federal Reserve Advisory Board, which is weird because he's a Bitcoin guy. So what's he doing? What's his play? Is he playing both sides of the fence here? I don't think he's a good guy in there advising the Federal Reserve to close their doors. I mean, that'd be great if he was, but I don't think he is. So anyway, my point is that Jacqueline Novogratz, who is on the board of directors for the Aspen Institute, also has a brother who's a crypto billionaire who's definitely not up to any shenanigans. She worked as a consultant for, this will set your mind at ease. She worked as a consultant for the World Bank and UNICEF in the country of Rwanda while they were having a civil war. Okay, again, I don't want to have to drag John Perkins back onto the show again to explain the role of the World Bank, but it's not good. And whenever there's conflict in a country, you will, I was talking to Berwick about this when he went to Somalia. He said he was there talking to his security force that he had to hire to go around. And they were watching all these private jets flying in just one after another into the airport in Mogadishu. And he was saying to the guy, what are all these private jets? Like, who is that? And they're like, oh, that's the World Bank. He's like, oh, shit. So if there's conflict and struggle, you can bet your ass that the World Bank is involved in it and more than likely part of the reason for it. She is a Jacqueline Novogratz founded the Next Generation Leadership Program at the Rockefeller Foundation. That's wonderful. And she's a CFR member. Hillary Clinton, as Secretary of State, appointed her to the State Department's Foreign Advisory Policy Board. And her husband is the owner of TED Talks. So that's the board of directors for Aspen Institute. It is filled with, it's the bar from Star Wars. Basically, rich, powerful maniacs, friends with Jeffrey Epstein, crypto billionaires, Walton family members, Michael Eisner, the guy that brought in Common Core, the guy that financed Google, the dude that works at Google, and a lady whose family is financing the trans agenda. I wonder what they talk about those board meetings. It's got to be so fascinating. Let's move on to this. I mentioned I was going to come back to the talking about Royal Caribbean, and this is where I'm going to get into it. Another component that it's not a big one, but it's a component that the Aspen Institute has is something called the Shipping Decarbonization Initiative. They love initiatives, by the way. Everything's an initiative with them. I feel like George Carlin. You know, he's like, initiative, this, no. Yeah. So they call it COZEV, which is an acronym. They love acronyms. Goddamn acronyms. Cargo Owners for Zero Emission Vehicles. So what are they doing? They're trying to create green shipping corridors. The ships that go across the ocean, they want to create green corridors. So I guess they float magically above the water. They're powered by rainbows and unicorn farts or something. I'm not really sure what they have in mind for this, but I'll tell you what will happen. It will disrupt this entire industry. It will cause a bunch of companies that are in the shipping business to go out of business because they fail to adapt to these new ridiculous policies. And then there will become consolidation in the shipping industry, which of course they will control, or something like that. But when I hear Cargo Owners for Zero Emission Vehicles, it smells like ESG to me. That's just me. They're talking about forming coalition to promote this idea and manufacture support. So it's not doing anything yet, but they're on a fact-finding mission to create a committee to maybe sort of raise support and awareness of this idea that they have to decarbonize the shipping industry, which literally nobody's calling for, but whatever. They're trying to be in line with the Paris Climate Agreement Accord of 1.5 degrees Celsius trajectory by 2040. That means I think they want to lower the temperature, but it's hard to tell because the temperature, climate's changing and all. It goes up, it goes down, it does all kinds of things. But they're in agreement to lower the Earth's temperature by 1.5 degrees Celsius. Okay, whatever. Good luck with that. And they are seeking full decarbonization by 2050. You know what's interesting, though? You know what puts out a ton of CO2 into the atmosphere? Is Royal Caribbean cruise ships, don't you know? Oh, boy, the one cruise ship equals 12,000 cars in terms of carbon dioxide emissions. So don't you find it just a little bit hypocritical that not just a member of the board, the chairman of the board of the Aspen Institute, Margot Pritzker, whose family owns Royal Caribbean, is talking about decarbonizing the shipping industry while simultaneously owning the largest polluter in the shipping industry? Does that not seem just, I don't know, a tiny bit hypocritical? Of course it is. And that's because these people are scammers and scumbags and grifters, and this whole thing is not what it appears to be. But let's move on here. So the Aspen Institute's main interests. Really what they want is they want a new generation of kids to grow up all freaked out about carbon. Climate change, anthropogenic climate change, and that I'm very specific about that, which means man-made carbon, man-made climate change, not carbon released by volcanoes. You know, we can't tax them, we can't modify the behavior of the Icelandic volcanoes that put more carbon dioxide in the atmosphere than all of human activity combined. So we can't do anything with that. I mean, if they were really serious about carbon dioxide in the atmosphere, they would be serious about all of it, not just one specific small slice that is man-made carbon dioxide emissions, which is the term they use for that is anthropogenic, caused by man. Okay. So that's what their main interest is. We're worried about climate change, but only the man-made kind, because we're not interested in actual climate change or actual carbon output. We're really more interested in modifying human behavior. Okay. So they've got something called the Future Leaders Initiative, and this is for the Future Leaders Climate institute. And of course, it's like a Young Global Leaders program. It's like the World Economic Forum Young Global Leader program. They also have the Aspen Junior Fellows program. This is teaching social responsibility to kids to, again, freak them out. They have Aspen Ideas. This last Aspen Ideas was on, what do you know, climate. And where did they hold it? In 2022, they held it in Miami Beach, which is really weird because I was specifically told that Miami Beach would be completely underwater by now. I was told that in 1979. I was told that in 1987. I was told that in 98 when all this stuff came into fruition in 92, I'm sorry, at the COP event in Brazil where they, you know, said we're all going to die unless we remake society. Al Gore told me this in Inconvenient Truth. You know, I was told sea levels were going to rise. So my question is, Aspen Ideas, when you have your climate summit, why'd you schedule it in Miami Beach? Are you just going to try and scare everyone and say, you know, we can't have this conference here 12 years from now because this entire place will be underwater? I'm sure they tried, but Miami's still there, for better or for worse. Sustainability assisted by smart infrastructure. They're very, very big on smart infrastructure. And by smart infrastructure, they mean this type of infrastructure that will allow them to turn off your ability to get anywhere. We're talking about 15-minute cities all of a sudden. Richie Allen and I talked about this. We're talking about, you know, cars have got to go. You'll own nothing and be happy. That's World Economic Forum lingo. It's, you know, so this is where they're going. They talk about grid updates or upgrades to the power grid. Why? There's a proposal that has been sitting there collecting dust to fortify the American national power grid against EMP attacks, and it will only cost $2 billion, which is a lot of money, clearly, but not when you talk about how much money is going out the front and back door to Ukraine. We could fortify our entire electrical grid against EMP attacks for $2 billion. We haven't done it. I mean, if I didn't know any better, I would think maybe they want it to be unprotected, right? But that would make me a tinfoil hat-wearing conspiracy theorist. Have you heard of the Aspen Music Festival? That's theirs. Sorry. That's theirs. If you want to hear some smooth jazz music while you're being propagandized to about how all the polar bears are going to die, well, then that's your place. They have the ecological transition towards Agenda 2030. They're big on that. 2030, that's United Nations. Of course, again, why would that be a surprise when you've got people that are on your board of directors that worked for the Rockefeller Institute? Of course, you know, of course you would be on board with the Agenda 2030. Benchmark. So it's really no surprise here. And then we have the National Recovery and Resilience Plan. This is used to attract private capital for climate initiatives. There they are with initiatives again. So let's talk about a different one. Let's talk about the Aspen Global Leadership Network. This is a group of 3,000 members, a lot of them entrepreneurs from 60 different countries. They are participating in 14 different fellowships, including things called like the Henry Crown Fellowship and the China Fellowship, Health and Innovation Fellowship, Finance Leaders Fellowship, blah, blah, blah. Goes on and on and on. Then they have a group called, they do a forum with 120 kids ages 10 to 18. And they are asking them or teaching them how to become, quote, change agents, okay? Change agents. So who sponsors this? Who sponsors this global leadership network? And who is trying to finance the brainwashing of these 120 kids to become change agents, Agent Smiths of the world? Well, don't worry, everybody, because it's none other than David Rubenstein, the founder of the Carlyle Group, who hired George H.W. Bush to work for him after he got out of office, who George H.W. Bush was having a meeting on the morning of September 11th in Washington, D.C., on behalf of David Rubenstein's Carlyle Group with the Bin Laden family. But again, just a glitch in the matrix, a total coincidence, nothing to see here, move along. So David Rubenstein is involved. which is never good. MasterCard is involved. That's just a credit card company. Okay. And Skoll Foundation, S-K-O-L-L. Jeffrey Skoll used to one of like the former CEO of eBay, one of the largest, I think cashed out a couple billion out of eBay, a lot of money. What do these three have in common? David Rubenstein of the Carlyle Group, MasterCard, and Skoll Foundation? Oh, well, just that they're all members of the World Economic Forum. So the World Economic Forum, again, is financing these projects. Their people are involved in financing these projects at the Aspen Global Leadership Network. So you're getting a new batch of not just World Economic Forum young global leader types that are going to go into politics. This is that version, but it's going into environmental stuff. So that's why it's important. That's why we need to pay attention to this. And then this one is, oh boy, this one is just, it's hilarious, I guess, but they also have a component called the Aspen Institute's Commission on Information Disorder. Information disorder. I mean, they think that the information that is coming out is inconvenient. They're very concerned, much like UNICEF was, with disinformation, meaning information that goes against the narrative. So they brought in technical advisors to be a part of this Aspen Institute Commission on Information Disorder. Wait till you get a load of who they brought in to manage the information disorder. It's none other than a technical advisor from Johns Hopkins, which is, you know, running constantly simulations on how they're going to kill us all. Nathan Gleischer of Facebook / the Obama White House, who is in charge of, content moderation over at Facebook. And Yoel Roth, the former trust and safety chief at Twitter, who's definitely not a pedophile, even though a bunch of his tweets on Twitter were definitely pedophile adjacent. So, you know, there's that. And this group is very worried about the impact of, quote, conspiracy theories and radicalization on marginalized communities. There you go. Whenever you hear marginalized communities, you know there's some bullshit coming your way, and that's it. They're worried about conspiracy theories radicalizing the marginalized communities. That's their job, to radicalize the marginalized communities. How dare you? We're trying to lie to them about climate change, and here you are coming in with your inconvenient facts and all that. We have to put a stop to it. And the guy for the job is Yoel Roth, who Elon Musk said, get the fuck out of here. Yeah, that guy. Well, look, like I said, when you go through the Twitter files, Yoel Roth was brought in. You know, he's in one of those messages saying, I can't make it today. I got to go to this Aspen Institute and do this presentation about vaccines. Really? You're doing presentation about vaccines, but you are the trust and safety chief at Twitter. With all due respect, what the fuck do you know about vaccines? What are you coming on there to talk about? Shouldn't you be talking about trust and safety over at a social media platform? Of course, that's not how it works, right? And then we'll wrap up with this last component of the Aspen Institute, and that is the Aspen Strategy Group. This is based at the mothership in Washington, D.C. Their aim is to explore the preeminent foreign policy and national security challenges facing the United States, which is just a very vague way of saying keep this deep state rolling. The Aspen Ministers Forum is always led by one of the worst human beings on the planet, that is Madeleine Albright, who, if you recall, when asked if the deaths of 500,000 Iraqi children were worth it, her response is, I think this is a tough, this is a tough question, but we think that it was worth it. So Madeleine Albright doesn't have a problem murdering 500,000 Iraqi children. But she's always the person who is in charge of the Aspen Strategy Group. She's the Aspen Ministers Forum. She's always the person that is brought in to to speak. Just so you're aware of sort of what level of debauchery and villainy they're allowing into this organization. So who's running it? Well, you're not going to like the people that are running this group, but of course you also won't be surprised. Executive director is Nicholas Burns. Now, that's a name that maybe doesn't jump out at you, but he is currently in the Biden administration, the U.S. ambassador to China. And, you know, it's not like the Biden family has any sort of long-running business arrangements with China or anything. Wink, wink. But what did he do before that? Well, he was the ambassador to NATO, which is a terrorist organization. He was, he is a member of Chatham House, which is no good. He is a member of the Trilateral Commission. He is on the, he's not just a member of the Atlantic Council. He's on the board of the Atlantic Council. He's a member of the Council on Foreign Relations. He is a member of the Rockefeller's Brother Fund. And he's also deeply involved, and this one is makes me very uncomfortable, given the what I've just mentioned, ambassador to China, ambassador to NATO, Chatham House, Trilateral, Atlantic Council, CFR, Rockefeller Brothers Fund, and Special Olympics. Am I going to have to dig into the Special Olympics? I don't want to have to do that. But if Nicholas Burns is involved in the Special Olympics, I've got a really bad feeling about this. And I'll tell you what, you may think that that's a line they wouldn't cross, and you would be wrong, okay? So I'm not saying there's anything going on in the Special Olympics. I'm just saying that one of the guys that's deeply involved with them is a deep state scumbag, so might be worth investigating. Additional members of the Aspen Strategy Group's board, or chair, I don't know how you define it, co-chair, a guy named Joseph Nye. Joseph Nye is the co-founder of the international relations theory of neoliberalism. So the idea of neoliberalism is this guy's baby. And so what are you, what the fuck? I've heard of neoliberalism. What does it mean? Best to be described as this: globalism, massive deregulation of everything, complete and utter free trade, NAFTA, which destroyed America. The North America Free Trade Agreement. It absolutely destroyed America. And that's what Ross Perot said, that what you'll hear is that giant sucking sound, which is all the jobs and factories being sucked out of this country and deposited in Mexico. He said in Mexico, but they really wound up going to China in factories that were owned by the Bush family. So neoliberalism is globalism, deregulation, free trade, NAFTA, and the repealing of Glass-Steagall, which of course gave us the unregulated Wall Street fiasco, which led to the collapse in 2008. All really great things. That's what this guy's in charge of. He's not just in charge of it. He doesn't just like these things. He came up with the concept of them. Okay. So they went ahead and got the guy, right, who's in charge of that. Then we've got another co-chair, Condoleezza Rice. Oh, Condoleezza Rice, former Secretary of State under Bush from 2005 to 2009, and she's a partner, a minority owner in the Denver Broncos, and my assumption is that she probably made that connection through the Aspen Institute, because Kerry Walter Penner is on the board, and she's married to the owner. I mean, I guess she sort of is. I mean, it's her money, so maybe she's technically the owner. But Condoleezza Rice is in charge of focusing on health, energy, and environmental policy. Just as long as you're not in charge of figuring out more countries to bomb and more children to murder. And lastly on this list is one of the directors of the Aspen Strategy Group's board, Anya Manuel, former diplomat at State Department, partner with Condoleezza Rice and they have a business together. She worked at the NSA and she works at the NSA with Stephen Hadley and Robert Gates and Condoleezza Rice and Anya Manuel came together to create a strategic consulting firm. So these guys, Robert Gates was like the former Secretary of Defense, and this Anya Manuel has written a book. She's an author. Would you like to know the title of the book? Oh, you brace for this. She is the author of This Brave New World, India, China, and the United States. Boy, Brave New World. You mean like Aldous Huxley wrote, one of the members of the Committee of 300 who is writing stories about how they want to take us into a techno-feudal dictatorship where we are fed crickets? Amazing choice of names for that book, huh? She's from Stanford and Harvard, which is a pattern. You'll notice for all these deep state organizations. She's a member of the Council on Foreign Relations, member of the Defense Policy Board at the Department of Defense, and she's on, for you crypto people out there, she's on the board of directors for Ripple Labs, which is deep state crypto partnered with the World Economic Forum and definitely involved in the bringing forth of central bank digital currencies. So again, Aspen Strategy Group is just one component of the Aspen Institute. If you look at it as a pyramid, Aspen Institute would be at the top with all these other groups underneath it. And again, you're known by the company you keep. And when you take a look at who's on the board and you take a look at who's running these, the boards of the different, the variety of different components, Aspen Strategy Group is one of them, really just the worst people in the world. So from time to time, you're going to hear this group mentioned. I felt like it was important for us to have an understanding and to realize that what these people were doing. Well, look, you know, they may say that they're out there saving the world, but I would define them as this. I would say this about the Aspen Institute. It is a deep state program to indoctrinate the kids into a variety of agendas, including fake climate change, equity, stakeholder capitalism, BLM, environmental justice, decarbonization, systemic racism, and other horseshit ideas that lead directly to the Great Reset. It's an investment in the next generation to make them demand their own enslavement. They will do so by thinking that they're saving the world. They will be walking into a trap in which they will own nothing and like it. They will be debating whether or not tonight we're having those delicious grasshoppers that mom always makes, or if we're going to be stuck eating mealworms and crickets. And those factories are under construction right now. They're already being built. Don't think this is some conspiracy theory. This is conspiracy fact. It's pretty troubling, but hey, what are we going to do? At least you know what's out there. If you like this episode, you can take the additional step right now of sharing it with your friends and family. If you want to connect with me, you can do so through the website, theoctopusofglobalcontrol.com. You can follow me on Twitter, @macroaggression. Thanks, everybody. I'll talk to you soon.